The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner. Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, and now, News First with local news for Bakersfield and the entire county. That's a winning combination on KNZR. Here's Terry Maxwell.
Oh, boy. Open a can of worms, open a can of worms. But we are going to close that can of worms right now. Dr. Mensing and I have been talking about a lot of different subjects that you probably would like to know exactly what we think about it, but we're not going to tell you. I mean, you probably know what I think about it, but we are respectful of the subjects that Dr. Mensing covers. He's given everybody what he feels you should do for improving your immune system, putting it in tip-top shape, and he has had tremendous success with his over about 1,000 patients that he services. He's only lost one, but that patient wasn't doing what he said. We've gone over it many times. If you can't remember what he has recommended, please listen to one of our old podcasts that you can go on to, KNZR.com, and listen to, because he's done it. He has thankfully done this so many times, Terry, for the listeners.
Terry,
here.
It's really been nice. I thank the Lord that we've
been able to help.
We made up these series of things, and so far now it's being proven right. There's research coming out. Yeah, we were right, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
although the FDA has come out recently chastising people who use ivermectin.
Well, here's the problem. Why? Okay.
They're using wrong dose.
They're using too high a dose.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's not what the FDA said. The FDA said don't use it because it doesn't work, and it hasn't been proven.
Here's what's happening. Doctors won't give them ivermectin. All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So people are going to the cattle stores and the places, Tractor Supply sells ivermectin, and using the dosage for cows or for animals and horses,
and not knowing how much
got in trouble.
Yeah, a 200-pound man is 70 kilograms, and it's in kilograms. Well,
the issue is.
But you'll get a kick out of this. The funny thing is, the person, this is out of Oklahoma, because they were showing how all the feed stores don't have any ivermectin.
Was that right?
Whenever it comes in, I mean, it's immediately
done.
They're interviewing a doctor, and she says, well, I haven't used ivermectin in over a decade. And it's like, then why are you interviewing her? Why don't you interview a doctor that's used it?
Probably, if you want to really get the real idea of what's happened with ivermectin, go on the web and search about India and ivermectin and what happened.
Yeah.
And make a long story short, Tony, India had a massive problem, okay? And medical system isn't like it is here. Mm-hmm. And make it real, it's a bit more complex as this, but make a long story short, India opened up ivermectin for everybody.
Yeah.
All right? And in fact, gave it away free. And if you look, they took their pandemic within 6 weeks down to zip.
Yeah.
With ivermectin. And it's, in fact, people around the world are studying it as we speak right now. It's just amazing what happened.
God forbid we do the same thing in the United States of America. But the problem is, you don't make any money off of ivermectin.
Yeah, and we're not about to make ivermectin over the counter. Yeah. And I don't think it should be, by the way.
It kind of is over the counter if you get it from the feed store.
Yeah, no, well, that's true.
I mean, it is kind of over the counter. No. You just have to know the right formula for figuring out what the dosage is.
We're sort of getting off track, but that's okay. But hydroxychloroquine, all right?
Same thing.
Bottom line, in 90% of the world, you can buy it over the counter. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some issues. We don't do that. And I don't think we should, by the way. All right. But because if you take ivermectin and you have any heart blocks, you can get in trouble. It's very rare. But we have lawyers here.
You mean hydroxychloroquine?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you said ivermectin.
Correct. I meant hydroxychloroquine. Most of the world, you can buy it over the counter. All right. But in America, North America, we don't do that because we have lawyers, and rarely, Terry, rarely if you have a heart block, it can make that worse.
Right.
Do you follow? All right. Right. In fact, that's why we do EKGs on all our patients when they first come in.
Absolutely.
To check that. So if they have no blockage issues, I can give them hydroxychloroquine if they get in contact with COVID.
Although I do remember when I was in college, my senior year, after everything was over and I graduated, we had this huge party. And we made it a vodka Collins party. And you know what goes into vodka Collins is tonic water. Mm-hmm. Well, seems the next morning a lot of people had a little bit of heartburn because of the tonic water that was in it. And you know, it's probably where it was related.
Yeah, there's a... I don't want to go there, but yes.
Well, that was my past life. That was my past life. Hey, well, today we finished up on heel pain, and I got a good response from the people that I talked to. They really enjoyed that. We are slowly going up the anatomy, because now we're going to talk about foot pain. I mean, just like everybody sometime in their life has heel pain. As a matter of fact, my wife has heel pain right now. She's going to be calling you. There is also something beyond just heel pain, just general foot pain.
Yes. Oh, I want to thought, we dealt with on Monday with just heel pain and early plantar fasciitis issues. And I thought, instead, let's move from the heel, go to the just generalized foot pain. All right?
Right.
Much of it's the same, but there's some other issues that you have to be aware of.
And that the doctor's going to look at and say, wait a minute, there's something else going on here.
Yes. The feet, people don't realize it, but the feet are not, there's problems in the feet, but from a doctor's point of view, the problem often is not primarily a foot problem, although the foot problem is there, but the doctor asks, why is it there?
Sure.
Something else going on.
Maybe a symptom of something else, more bigger and more general going on.
Exactly. You hit the nail right in the head. Yeah. The issue for the wise physician looks, not that you got foot problems, and he will deal with that, but the issue is why you have foot problems. Okay, that's a bigger and more important question that the doctor will look at.
Okay, so as you're doing the examination, what are you looking for?
Well, first of all, there's several things. First of all, if we look, is there any fever or what you call redness or erythema? Right? That's what it means, red, inflamed,
right? Right.
And there's several reasons. Number one, it could be gout. In fact, everybody knows the big red swollen toe, gout, all right? I had a guy yesterday came in with a great big classic gout kind of thing, all right? You can get phlebitis, all right? That means the inflammation of the vessels and veins in the foot itself, all right? Mm-hmm. You can get osteomyelitis. That's an infection in the bone, all right? Very serious, by the way.
Yeah.
All right? You can get infection, what we call a cellulitis, which is an infection of the soft tissue,
right?
You can get ingrown toenails, that causes the toe to get red, all right? Because they get infected. Again, the issue there is not giving them antibiotics. The issue is cutting out that sliver of wedged bone that's making that lateral edge of a nail bed not drain.
Right.
And it's essentially ingrown toenails. Think of them like an abscess. All right. It really
got to lance them.
Yeah, well, that's not lancing.
Okay.
But what an ingrown toenail? What's happening is that the edge of the toe is laterally going around, and that lateral aspect of the toe can't drain properly. And so you get a pocket of pus behind the toe. And that, all right? And we don't drain them. What we
do is pull it out?
No, well, we cut. The most common thing that we do first is we do what's called a partial wedge resection. But we just cut, we numb them up, all right? And we cut the lateral edge of that toenail right down the base so that it starts draining. Once it drains, the pus is gone, it's over. All right. Sometimes you have to give them, if they have a bad circulation or diabetic or something, we'll give them antibiotics. But it's not an antibiotic problem. It's cutting out that nail that's blocking that drainage of pus from the nail. And you do that overnight, within the next day they're better, kind of thing.
Right.
Sometimes we'll have them soak in a little bit of Epsom salts or something like that for a couple of days to do some things to help it heal.
Maybe give it a little bit of Neosporin or something along those.
Neosporin doesn't work for it. It's useless. It doesn't work. And then the problem with Neosporin with the foot, with cellulitis, and for most, many, many problems, cellulitis and skin rashes and things like that, neomycin, it works, Terry.
Yeah.
It works. But here's the big but. Probably half the patients, after repeated use of Neosporin, get an allergic reaction to the Neosporin, and they get redness from the Neosporin. You don't even know if it's due to the Neosporin or due to the cellulitis.
And that's probably the petrolatum that they use as a base.
Oh, no, it's actually the neomycin itself
okay.
that's doing it, all right? So that's the problem. It's cheap and it works, all right? But the problem is the allergy issues with that.
Got it.
All right? There's paronychia, there's Achilles, bursitis, and tendonitis, we talked about the last day. Another thing that the doctor will, when there's a lot of redness, there's something called Reiter syndrome. R-E-I-T-E-R-S, Reiter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And these people get a swollen, a tender, red foot, and a lot of foot pain. But they really have what's called Reiter syndrome. And the problem is not the feet. It's an inflammation in the rest of the body that's causing it. They're called Reiter syndrome.
But since you put a lot of your weight on your feet, it manifests as more pain in the feet.
They come in with pain. They have urinary tract problems, a whole bunch of different things. It's called Reiter syndrome. And the doctor, but that's one of the things the doctor will think about when he sees you. All right.
Sure.
There's another thing called ankylosing spondylitis, and these patients have this is what you call bamboo spine. If you
right.
All right, but they will often present with foot pain too. And the problem is not the feet, it's the ankylosing spondylitis, all right?
Yeah.
And it's often, I was going to say it's like a referred pain. That's not quite really true, all right? But think of it like you've got your back problems from the spine being screwed up. It changes your weight balance, it changes the nerves, a whole bunch of things, and they come in with a lot of foot pain.
Yeah, and
the problem is not the feet, it's really your back.
When I worked for Upjohn, we, of course, had a drug that we were promoting for ankylosing spondylitis. And to let people know, that's the person who's bent. The worst cases of ankylosing spondylitis are where the patient is completely bent over and they're almost having to look straight up in order to look forward.
Yeah, it's
has
it's
something
a
to
bad
do with
illness.
Kidneys. Kidneys are involved.
Well, it's actually a gene defect. It's
right.
an HLA-B,
right.
I think it's HLA-B27 gene issue. The issue with these patients is a genetic problem. All right, it's carried
right.
in families, literally. It's a gene problem. And how well that gene is expressed is, there's a little bit of variance, but there's good familial concordance. You know, if your HLA-B27, both genes are positive, you're going to get it no
yeah.
matter what.
Yeah.
It may
yeah.
be at 40, it may be at 45, it may be at 50, it may be at 25 kind of thing. But now if you have only one gene, that's a different story. But that's a serious illness.
Very, right? very serious.
The next thing the doctor's going to look at is there any deformity of the foot, all right? And there's two issues. Everybody knows about hammer toes and stuff like that. You know, mm-hmm. those are, you know, the person on the street can figure that out kind of thing.
Right, right.
All right? What the doctor's really looking for with deformity issues, is there a displaced fracture that you don't know about? And this is especially true in people who have peripheral neuropathies, which we'll talk about in a bit,
mm-hmm.
or have diabetes where they don't feel if there's a problem.
Right.
And you can and the doctor will palpate, and it's usually the fifth metatarsal little, but you can have a literal fracture, and the patient has no clue. And it starts to hurt a little bit. Now, if it was you and me without a peripheral neuropathy, we couldn't walk one foot.
Right,
we yell
right.
and scream, but these people don't. They're the circulation is bad too. But the nerves are shot, so they don't realize they got a fracture. And so he'll look for the deformity from that, and it's not that common. But these are usually people who are end stage diabetics, type 1 or type 2. They're usually if they're type 1, they've had poor diabetic control. Type 2, at least more than 6 years,
right?
And they're usually on insulin at that point.
Yeah, and these patients get to the point where they really can't feel much on the outer extremities, either hands or the feet. And
it's terrible.
These are the patients that ultimately
get amputations.
Yeah.
They get amputations. So why did they get amputations?
Because of the poor circulation. They get an infection. They don't even feel it. And by the time you see it, it is so infected that the only answer to it is it's too late. We have to amputate.
These people get in trouble with, they may have osteomyelitis. They don't even mm-hmm. know it.
Yep.
They get ulcers that won't heal. These are high risk situations. All right.
I remember when I was working for Upjohn, we talked about diabetes and we, of course, made some antibiotics for osteomyelitis. We had clindamycin,
mm-hmm.
and we
still
watched
good,
this.
By the way.
Oh,
still good.
Fantastic drug. And they're showing this doctor doing an examination on a diabetic patient, and of course, he's got some ulcerations on his feet and stuff like that. He takes his pin and pushes the pin straight through the foot. And the patient doesn't even winch because he didn't feel it.
No, yeah. The problem with those patients, Terry, is that they'll start. If you have ulcers, you don't really feel the ulcer. talk to your doctor. Right.
Well, and if
but they don't realize they're getting in trouble. They don't realize, and then all sorts of bad things happen. Then you see the doctor late. That's probably the bottom line.
One of the worst things that can happen to a diabetic is the shoes that they've been comfortable with, that they've had no problems with, wear out, and they have to get new ones, because that's usually where they start having problems. Is they don't feel anything about that shoe
and the fit
and the next thing you know, you got an ulcer, and the next thing you know, you're losing your right leg.
Yeah. Well, they usually start with the toes, and then they go up.
Yeah, that's true.
And they usually go up step by step. And it's serious.
Extremely.
The other thing is the doctor's going to check, are there pulses? All right?
Before we get into the vascularization.
He's giving the sign, we need to stop and take a look.
Duan, how come you haven't played some music to get us out of this conversation?
We'll do that later. We'll come back after.
Now that everybody's gone, ooh, put a pin right through a foot. Yeah.
No, it's true, Terry.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. We're going to be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR. News, traffic, weather, and the best local news team. We will rock you. KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
It's summertime, and living is easy. The fields are jumping, and the cotton is high.
Hey, you know, Duan, I have never watched, The Living Dead or any of that kind of stuff. Do they play this song when they start coming on the screen? Because, you know, this is by the zombies.
Yeah, I'm not really into zombie movies.
That would be perfect, you know. The zombies singing Summertime, and then suddenly all the Walking Dead come along. I think it'd be great. Yes, we are doing a Shindig Wednesday. This is the Zombies, Summertime. Great song. Okay, Dr. Mensing, remind you that we're talking with Dr. Mensing from the practice. Kind of interesting. We're talking about the foot, and you were just about to talk about doing a vascular examination and looking for pulses. What pulses are you looking for, and why?
Okay, there's several issues with pulses. All right, number one is you can get what we call peripheral atherosclerosis. It means there's blockages in the arteries going to the feet. And there's no pulses, all right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing the doctor's going to look at. Because if there's no pulses, it could be due to several things. But one of the, especially if you're a diabetic or have heart problems or atherosclerosis or hypertension or any of those things, then it's probably you have blockages in your arteries so that you don't have any pulses.
Right.
All of a sudden the circulation is screwed up. You are at high risk for infections, osteomyelitis, a whole bunch of bad things.
Right.
Now, I've had people come in that have no pulses, and they're young and they're normal. You can have no pulses because your vascular tone is squeezed up. You know, you're just like inside, kind of thing, all uptight, and you're peripherally shut down, and that's because of stress.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the circulation. The second thing that is harder to deal with, Terry, all right? And this is for people who have atrial fibrillation, okay? That you're on you have atrial fibrillation, your doctor's giving you a blood thinner, all mm-hmm. right? So you don't get strokes. Well, here's the problem with people with atrial fibrillation. They can have miniature clots that block the arteries in your feet.
Because that's kind of where it would go anyway, because that's downhill.
Well, no, that's not quite true. Okay. But they can go all over. But the runoff circulation will be blocked by embolism, and those people are at very serious risk for issues.
All right?
And the doctor will, in fact, if he feels no pulses, and he doesn't really know you, if he hasn't done an EKG, he will check your heart, make sure your heart rhythm is not normal. If it's not, he'll do an EKG on you and look and see, is there atrial fibrillation?
Right.
Because the risk for atrial fibrillation, I mean, you lose about 30% of your cardiac output with it,
mm-hmm.
but more important, you get these clots, and you get strokes, you get all sorts of crazy things. I had a guy last week that came in that is having memory issues, all right? Just bottom line, he's memory issues. And he saw me. He's a new patient. And careful how I say this, but bottom line, we did an MRI of his brain. All right? He had never had this done. And this has been going for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And make a long story short, he's got hundreds of miniature little strokes from miniature microemboli.
Okay.
And bottom line, he's had AFib that's not been treated. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right? And I thank the Lord he hasn't got a big stroke. You know what I mean?
Go ahead and define AFib for everybody.
It means atrial fibrillation. And what happens is the vessels are okay. It's not a vessel problem,
mm-hmm.
but the rhythm or the wiring circuits in the brain. You have electrical wiring system in your brain.
It's an electrical system.
And that system gets screwed up, usually in the atrium. And what happens is that atrium starts to, instead of beating like a normal, heart will do, the atrium beats and fills up the ventricle.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't beat properly, and it just quivers.
Mm-hmm.
When it quivers, it gets clots in it. And then those clots get sent up to the brain or anywhere in the body. All right?
Right. And that's totally different than a PVC, pre-ventricular
totally
contraction.
Different.
Right.
In fact, a different part of the electrical system for a PVC, this is in the atrium itself, before it gets down to the ventricle, where PVC is coming.
Excellent. Okay.
All right. The other thing is that the doctor, if you have no artery circulation,
mm-hmm.
he will look and see if you're a diabetic, all right? Because it goes hand in hand with diabetes control, all right? The other thing that he'll look at, not only if there's no pulses, but he will look at what's the venous system like, because there's two systems there's arteries putting blood into the foot.
Right.
There's veins draining it out.
Absolutely.
And people with venous problems, in fact, they'll come in with very swollen feet and they get rashes on their feet and up their shins,
mm-hmm.
called venous stasis disease. That's what doctors call it. But you can have incompetence of the veins that can affect the circulation too. So you got circulation coming in, you got circulation coming out. So the doctor will look at that and see. Because that's major importance, what's going to look at.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize, but what you do is you have almost like gates in your arteries from the feet all the way up, because otherwise it would just flow right back down. So
those valves those valves in the veins are what are screwed up. That's literally what venous stasis disease or venous insufficiency is all about. Those valves are screwed up in the
veins. They're not working properly.
And so they can't. You pump the blood up and it pumps back down.
And that's completely different than congestive heart failure, which can cause pitting edema in the
tree. That's true. In fact, the doctor will check and see if there's congestive heart failure versus just venous stasis disease.
Right.
All right. By the way, it's very hard to treat. There's things we do, and we had programs on this in the past, but it's not an easy, I don't have a pill to cure your venous stasis disease.
Yeah,
there's things we do.
There isn't one.
There's things we do, but there's no easy answer for it.
Why don't we go ahead and take a quick break, an early break, and when we come back, I'd like to know a little bit about stress fractures, because I'm sure that's what's on everybody's mind. What about those stress fracture things? Because it seems like everybody gets one.
There are new things coming out about stress fractures.
Excellent.
New things we'll talk about.
Glad I asked. We're going to be right back.
There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR.
I'm connected all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
It's what I always listen to. I get the news that matters.
And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
We've already said
you're racking your brain. Oh, I love that song, but who does that song? Were you surprised when you saw who does this song? It's kind of like there's a song by Fleetwood Mac that is a great song, but it's when Bob Welch was a member of Fleetwood Mac. This is the Moody Blues. Go Now by the Moody Blues. Oh, I knew that surprised a lot of you. Okay, Dr. Mensink, we need to talk about stress fractures, because I mean, I run into so many people who've had stress fractures in their feet, and you said that there's some new stuff coming out. What is it?
Well, stress fracture, let's define a stress fracture.
Okay.
A stress fracture is a subclinical fracture that you can't show up on x-ray. Now, this is not quite true.
Subterranean, then.
Subterranean. Let's talk a state of art 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You have a stress fracture. We will treat you clinically, and then we'll re-x-ray. X-ray will be normal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't show up on x-ray. And then 2 weeks later, we'll re-x-ray it and start to show up. All right? That was the classic state of the art. All right? Then we realized that that wasn't quite true, because we have miniature stress fractures that don't show up, and they show up only on CT. All right?
Oh, okay.
Okay, and so that's why we do CTs of people's feet, to show up a stress fracture that won't show up on x-ray. All right? Well, the newest outcome has come out, Terry. We can have microscopic stress fractures that are very painful. They only show up on MRI. And you need
so you
got to
go to the point of an MRI, huh?
To do it. And in fact, I just, in my study this morning, I only learned this morning, all right? I didn't know, but the newest, you can have these subclinical stress fractures, and you can do all you want, and nothing works for these patients, literally. Mm-hmm. It's a terrible thing to say, but these are patients that nothing works. And
well, but the other problem is they'll get better. And then the next thing you know, they're right back where they started you get the exact same stress fracture.
These are microscopic, miniature stress fractures of the bone.
Yeah.
And the only way you can pick up these mild ones, and they hurt like hell, Terry. Yeah. You know, the typical exam is, I find nothing. They hurt like hell. I think the patient's crazy, all right? And he's really got a stress fracture. And those patients need to be MRI'd, all right?
Okay.
In fact, I didn't know that yesterday. This morning for this program. That came out. All right. And so probably the state of the art, if you have pain that nobody can figure out what's going on, mm-hmm. all right, we used to do CT if we thought it was bony, and MR if you thought it was soft tissue. But the newest, if a doctor thinks it could be a stress fracture, should do MR. All right.
Okay. And then have somebody who knows how to read it to identify it.
Yes.
Can't be that easy to identify, is it?
No. Radiologists are usually pretty good.
Okay.
I have all of us as physicians get to know, who's good. Well, that sounds bad. Let's put it this way. As a physician, you learn to know which radiologist overreads, underreads, where he's good at, where he's not so good at. You know what I'm saying? Every radiologist has strong points and weak points. And you learn as a physician, especially in your specialties. Like I read my own MRs and CTs of the neck and head and spine. All right. Mm-hmm. I know I can do it. Good is better.
You can do it blindfolded.
Because I did neurosurgery residency. So I can do that very well. But you learn who overreads, who underreads. You know, right. Who's where their strong points are. Like I have a doctor. We have a doctor that does. In fact, he's only one of two radiologists in town have a fellowship in breast radiology imaging.
Oh, no kidding.
All right? There's only two in town.
Yeah.
But there's dozens of radiologists reading breast mammograms.
Yeah.
All right? But sometimes if I have a big question about something, I'll call him and say, hey, why don't you...
you got to look at this.
Take a look. Yeah, what do you think? You know what I mean? Because he will pick up things the others won't.
Okay.
All right?
You diagnosed a stress fracture. You've done the MRI. Got a stress fracture. Now what?
Okay. What do we do with these patients? First of all, it's almost always overuse.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's men get these. Why? Women don't as much. Men do, but women can get them too. All right? But men get them because here's what men do. Oh, I'm going to exercise. I'm going to run or do whatever. Mm-hmm. All right? And the men hit it hard.
They're overweight.
And they're overweight, and they push it too hard, and then they get pain and they don't follow through.
Right.
I'd rather you start slowly, build your body up. You know, if you're going to, I tell people often, I like people to walk, all right? Mm-hmm. Especially older people. I want you to walk. Start walking up the block. That's enough for a couple of weeks.
Right.
Next week, a good block and a half. Start slowly, build up.
And instead of
hitting it real hard, and then you get in trouble.
If you've got a park, or if you've got a school close to you, that they got a track and stuff, that's a good place, because one of the things that happened to my wife Paula was, the street has got a little bit of a curvature on mm-hmm. it, and you'll put a little bit too much pressure on your baby toe as you are, and the metatarsal that goes with it.
And they also, the other thing that makes a lot of difference with this are back and knee problems.
Right.
Because it changes your gait, all right? The other thing we tell a lot of people to do in the summer, there's a good place where it's air conditioned, it's free, you get great for walking, go to the mall.
Yeah.
But don't buy it. Don't spend all your money there, right? But go walk in the mall. Yeah. It's air conditioned. Women love it. They can sort of window shop and do all their things.
Yeah. No, that's right? A great idea.
But it's a great way to do it.
Yeah.
All right.
We've got to take one more break. Dr. Mensing is going to stick around with us. We'll see what else we can possibly cover in the time that is left. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR.
KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR.
Look at he hit those high notes. Amazing. That's Little Richard. 1957, Lucille. Love it. We're talking with Dr. Jan Mensink from the practice. And you wanted to talk a little bit, before we leave this subject, we've got about a minute left. You want to talk a little bit about the hierarchy of, or the philosophy of treatment.
Terry, the farther I go... there's several things. I am a big fan of podiatrists, okay? There's issues with some of the podiatrists who are doing a lot of procedures and things to just make money, all right?
Right.
And in fact, let me do it right now, but I'm going to give you a name of a podiatrist that I've known for 20 years, for years and years.
Mm-hmm. One that you use.
That I would go to myself and we use for our patients. He's got very good judgment. He does what's needed, no more. And he is, when you get into this area, judgment's what matters more.
Right.
And I'm oft, in fact, I would all, if you have problems that nobody, your primary care doctor can't figure out, see this man or see a podiatrist. Number two, if the workup, there's cases where we can't figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Or the workup's complex to do. It's probably cheaper in the long run to see the podiatrist and let him do the workup.
Yeah. So who is the podiatrist?
Dr. Moshe Sané. But he's here's his phone number, 832-3600. 832-3600. But this is a guy I would send my wife to.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
I've known him for years. I'm trying to get him to come on the program. I don't think he wants to. Maybe I have to twist.
We're not that scary, are we?
But he's a phenomenal podiatrist, okay? And if you're in trouble, call him.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Mensink. We are going to be back in at the top of the hour with Brian Colbert.